Good morning. Sounds that are becoming eerily familiar in American cities last night in Uptown Charlotte. Governor McCrory has issued a state of emergency for the city. Mayor Jennifer Roberts continues to call for peace. The violence has turned Charlotte into an unrecognizable city, she says.
This is not who we are as Charlottians.
This hour of Morning Edition, we hear from WFAE reporters who were on the ground in Uptown last night, reaction from city officials, and we also hear the voices of the people.
I've been standing for the Black Lives Matter movement for so long, and now that it's right here in my city, my hometown, born and raised in Charlotte, it's too close to home for me now.
You'll hear these stories and more during this hour of Morning Edition on 90.7 WFAE. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Chief Kurt Putney issued a challenge yesterday. He said it's time for the voiceless majority to be heard, to change the narrative in the very public response to Tuesday's fatal police shooting of Keith Scott.
Because I can tell you from the facts that the story is a little bit different as to how it's been portrayed so far, especially through social media.
The narrative didn't change last night and early this morning. CMPD says Scott had a gun, but some people don't believe that. And for many protesters, it doesn't matter. The second night of protests just had a different setting. It moved from the university area to uptown. And there was another shooting. The city says the victim is in critical condition on life support. There was an early report that an officer was the shooter. The city says the shooter was a civilian. We have several reports this morning, and we begin with the start of the protest. Here's WFAE's David Borax.
About 100 people stood in silent protest in front of Bank of America headquarters at the end of the workday. Signs read, "Legalize being black," "Stop killing my brothers," and "Black Lives Matter." Andrew Monroe said he and other organizers wanted a protest that would attract other millennials and professionals.
We just wanted to show the world that it's not thugs and criminals. It's people, it's professionals, it's doctors, lawyers, businessmen, bankers, teachers out here. We are as you are.
They wanted, in their own way, to protest Tuesday's police killing of Keith Scott in Northeast Charlotte. Jocelyn Purdy said she's grown tired.
I've been standing for the Black Lives Matter movement for so long, and now that it's right here in my city, my hometown, born and raised in Charlotte, it's too close to home for me now.
As the crowd grew, people began chanting.
Being black is not a crime. Being black is not a crime.
Then they marched, first to police headquarters for more chanting, and then to Marshall Park, where a larger and more disorganized protest gathered. After only a handful of short speeches, the crowd divided. One group marched to Little Rock AME Zion Church. There, people like Mario Black called for unity after Tuesday night's violent protests.
It was disheartening. I was born and raised in Charlotte. Well, really, I never thought that our city as a whole would be in this state. I call it a state of emergency.
He urged people to channel negative energy into something for good. But that's not what was happening a few blocks away, near the Epicenter and Omni Hotel on Trade Street. At around 8:30, people suddenly turned and began running down Trade Street, some yelling that someone had been shot. A few people started throwing metal and hotel flower pots at a police car as it turned around to leave. Police began firing tear gas to move the crowd back from the hotel entrance, and protesters tossed fireworks back. For WFAE News, I'm David Borax. And now my colleague Tom Bullock picks it up from here.
This latest round of protests started peacefully, says 31-year-old Eddie Thomas.
It was all cool. The bike cops was cool with it until riot cops came out. And once the riot cops came out, within 5 minutes, you had a young man on the ground bleeding.
Thomas is a public defender here in Charlotte. He came, he said, to help keep the peace between protesters and police. But the peace was not kept.
You know, I saw that young man on the ground. I saw his eyes roll in the back of his head. I'll never get that image out of my mind, man.
Thomas was talking about a still unidentified man who was shot and critically injured. City officials say it was a civilian, not a police officer, who fired the shot, but offered no further details. There were hundreds of protesters on the street last night. Originally, it was about the police shooting death of a 43-year-old African-American named Keith Lamont Scott. He was killed Tuesday afternoon. Police say he was holding a gun. His family says he was holding a book. But the anger over Scott's death was quickly overtaken when word of last night's shooting spread from person to person. They again blamed the police.
They want to hurt us! Y'all got all that money!
The situation escalated. More riot police were called in, banging their batons against their shields as they walked in line before stopping at an intersection, where protesters met them, yelling just inches from the officers' faces. The police stood silently for a time, then threw concussion grenades and tear gas canisters. A steady breeze carried the gas throughout the crowd. The protesters retreated down the street, regrouped, and went back again and again.
Here comes round three of tear gas. The crowd is now throwing them back. The police then kick it back towards the crowd.
More would follow. Some protesters threw bottles of water, trash cans, even plants they ripped from the ground at police. They smashed car windows and doors. At least four officers were injured. Today, some businesses are telling their employees to work from home. And with the governor's emergency declaration, members of the North Carolina National Guard will soon deploy on Charlotte City streets. For WFAE News, I'm Tom Bullock.
There was another side to last night. Although the clashes were eye-catching, the overwhelming majority of protesters were not violent. Next, we're going to hear a conversation with a few of them. Rhea O'Neill, Kiana Ralph, and Leah Wright are young African-American women who live in Charlotte and came to the protest together. WFAE's Michael Tomczyk asked them why.
We're just kind of here to give a voice. A lot of people around the country don't really understand what's going on, and we need everyone to open their eyes and see this is happening. It's here. You can't ignore it anymore. So
I feel like to see it happen directly in Charlotte, you know, it hit home that we are in the area where we can stand for this. We don't have to see it on TV or hear people talk about it, but we can be a part of this now. So it's time to do something.
What do y'all think overall of what you've seen? Have what you have seen been mostly peaceful? Has there been some violence?
Starting off, it was extremely peaceful. It was at the park, Marshall Park. It was really peaceful. And then we got word that I guess someone was shot outside of the epicenter. And we took that as a direct kind of hit to the gut that we're out here trying to, you know, protest and stop police brutality. And something happened. So we marched down to the epicenter. And it was peaceful until just some bad apples decide, you know, to do things to the police that make them want to retaliate.
What did you see?
Firecrackers being thrown, water bottles being thrown. And of course, with that happening, the police have to react to it. They can't just stand there and go, oh, we're going to put up our shields and just take what we got. They have to react to it sooner or later. And they gave plenty of warnings before doing so. And some people stood their ground. And that's when it became very unpeaceful in its way.
There still are a lot of us trying to continue the peace so it doesn't get out of hand, because there's no reason for that, and nothing will be solved by us rioting or having any extreme levels of violence. And we don't want any other casualties because of this protest.
What do you think it says about how people in Charlotte view the police that even the chief of police coming out today and trying to say, look, here are the facts, the person had a gun, and yet there's still so much anger and disbelief of that? I mean, what does that say about how people even trust the police at all, or do you?
Because the police have given us no reason to actually take their word for it. There's videos, they all have body cams, why can't someone just come out and say, oh, here's the video, take it for what it is and see for yourself? However, they want to be all secretive and deceptive about it.
About how, like, Charlotte people view cops, it's like nationally cops everywhere are attacking us. It's not just Charlotte cops. It's not like it's a national threat against Black lives. Like, everyone's at risk. And yeah,
it could be your mom, it could be your grandmother, you know, it could be your 7-year-old nephew. You never know. Or it could be yourself. Simply every time you see a cop behind you, you could get pulled over. You have a thought in your head, will this be the last time that I see anyone? Will this be the day that I die? And everyone else doesn't have to deal with that type of anxiety and that type of feeling every day and think about their family and everyone they love going through that every day, all the time.
And that gut check that you get, does it make a difference whether the cop is white or black?
No.
For me, it doesn't, because anytime someone is in that uniform, it's going to send a shock through me. There are definitely some black cops that have come out there and shot people unarmed, and there are definitely white cops that have done it.
This is the power that you get when you become a cop, because you have so much of the power of America in your hands, and to some people, it's almost like they play God. They pick who goes to jail, who doesn't, but yet they don't get the same consequences as every other American.
And it's just crazy because, like, I've had, you know, black cops come and speak to us and tell us, you know, you guys should trust the cops. You don't know the full story. You don't know what that person did. Just because you come out and you're the same skin tone as me, I don't have to trust you. You're still a stranger. I don't know your motives. I don't know how you, I don't know anything about you. All I see is your uniform, and I see the rest of the people who are dying because of it or from it.
What some of the city leaders have been calling for, in addition to peaceful protests, is some patience. There's such a big difference in the narrative right now between, like, what the family is saying and what the cops are saying. What do you think of that? This idea that, like, you know, hey, maybe we should wait until there's more concrete
detail.
I don't feel like
there should be any waiting. I feel like we have, as black people, have had enough of waiting. Honestly, this is not, we've been waiting since we've been brought here. What is there to wait for?
They're the us. We just ask people to put themselves in our shoes. If you're not out here protesting and you're not out here using your voice, put it on social media. Educate yourself. The littlest difference can make the biggest change. Just do that for all of us. And this entire United States will be a much better place and a lot more safe, a lot more freedom-based, and a lot more equal the way it was supposed to be built.
That's Bria O'Neill, Kiana Ralph, and Leah Wright, who protested last night in Uptown. They spoke to WFAE's Michael Tomczyk. Now, during that interview, you heard frustration with CMPD's refusal to release video of the shooting of Keith Scott. Here's CMPD Chief Kurt Putney explaining yesterday why dash cam and body camera footage is not being released.
It's part of the investigative process. Right now, it's evidence. You know the law as well as I do. Right now, we can't release it. It'd have a negative impact on the integrity of the case, and that's something that we're not going to do.
A new state law will require a court order to get law enforcement agencies to release video, but that law doesn't take effect until October 1st. The state ACLU is urging CMPD to release the footage. In any case, Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts told the BBC she hopes to see video of Scott's shooting today, but doesn't think it's time to make it public.
There are bits and pieces of information that, if viewed separately, could lead to erroneous conclusions. So we want to make sure we have all the evidence and all the facts together, and the investigation is complete before that is released to the public.
And in an interview with NPR's Steve Inskeep, Robert said any future release of video will depend on a few factors.
It depends on the investigation and its progress, and it depends on the discretion of the chief to some extent. But at one point, yes, we will have that be public, and I need to follow the process.
Can you tell the chief, release that video?
At this point, we will be working with our team in assessing whether or not that will happen and in what order. Again, eventually that will happen. We do not want to jeopardize the integrity of the investigation.
Mayor Roberts will be a guest this morning at 9 on Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins. Meanwhile, City Councilwoman Vi Lyles spent last night monitoring protests from CMPD's command center, where she spoke to WFAE's Mark Rumsey. He asked her how Charlotte can have peaceful dialogue on the Keith Scott shooting.
One of the things that I understand most about loss and grief is that it creates anxiety, it creates fear, it creates uncertainty and frustration. So all of those things are going through people, and it's actually, people need an opportunity to talk about that. We can do that peacefully. So one of the things that I think we've got to do is just let people understand that there are instances where people are feeling so much pain and hurt that they've got to have an opportunity to express it. But you can do that by first your own personal safety and also the safety of your neighbors. And that means being respectful and having those boundaries set. So that's what we're trying to continue to talk about and discuss.
Ms. Lyles, can you say, do you have full confidence in the account of the shooting of Keith Scott that the police department has been putting forth?
I have full confidence that the police department want to seek the right answer. They want to be truthful. So that's what I focus on. I think the police department's values around, you know, serving this community is something that we believe in. I think that we've come a long way in this community. You know that we sent, our chief is out there, many people are out there, so no, I have confidence that they're going to respect their mission and their values in this investigation.
Specifically, their statement that Mr. Scott, Keith Scott, was armed, did have a gun that was found near him after the shooting. Are you confident in that statement?
The chief said that today, and unless he changes that statement, then I think that's where we have to be.
And I wanted to ask you briefly about police video, body camera, dash cam video. Chief Putney said today that they would withhold that information or that video while the investigation is continuing. There have been some different interpretations on what the current state of the law actually mandates with that. What would you like to see in terms of a timeline for releasing the body cam and dash cam videos?
I'd actually like for us to follow the rules and procedures that we have in place, which really respects that family. If anything, if anyone deserves the opportunity to see that, they are first and foremost the people that I have to think about. We also have to think about it in terms of this is something that will be used in our investigation. So my belief is that body cameras are one of the tools, but I also think it's the important tool for the family to be respected before we talk about this. Now, I also know that there'll be public information in there, maybe some interpretations about it. But my core is think about the person who's lost that life, their family member. I would hope we would respect that.
Councilwoman Viles, before I let you go, anything else that you'd like to for the community to hear tonight?
One of the things that I think we ought to really begin to do is think about tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day, and how can we make that day more peaceful, more calm, and more respectful?
That's Charlotte City Councilwoman and Mayor Pro Tem Viles speaking last night to WFAE's Mark Rumsey.